My twists are coming apart from heaven back with another video. And goddamn, my twists are coming apart. Fuck my life. On a rainy day where it's very cool and enjoyable outside, I decided to watch a new movie. A movie called Bullet Train. Not Mugen Train, which was a Japanese-influenced piece of art that had the word train in it that I enjoyed quite a bit that I watched at the same movie theaters as I watched Bullet Train at. Bullet Train, I'm going to keep it short because it's not a spectacular movie by any means. But it's not as bad as I saw on Metacritic before watching the movie. And you know, they do say happiness. Comparison is a thief of joy. And if I compare this movie to some of the movies that it makes me think of, those movies were really landscape, land shattering events. And I don't think this is that, but I mean, if you enjoyed a kick-ass, if you enjoyed a Scott Pilgrim versus the World, something that reflects heavily on source material, and I think does a commendable job of being enjoyable, even if it may deviate from said source material. I don't know what the fucking book was like. I know what Scott Pilgrim's comics were like. I think Kick-Ass had a book that it came from. Anyway, the point being, nerdy-ass movie that draws heavily from outside influences. It tries to be kishy and quirky very often. Sometimes successfully, sometimes, you know, a little bit maybe cringy. But I mean, you go for like a legacy act, Caucasian actor as the main guy, as Brad Pitt is, which isn't an insult to be a legacy act. I mean, you know, you succeed for 30, 40 years, you know, you kind of deserve, you know, to be put in a certain standard. And I feel like it's something that's a little bit outside of his general wheelbarrow, and he did a great job, I think, of adjusting to it. I thought the casting was fantastic. Is it a better casting than Oppenheimer or Amsterdam? No, it's not. I hate Oppenheimer, but it's not. Oh, fuck! I didn't think about that. Finally, a motherfucking movie that didn't shove Oppenheimer up the collective of the movie watchers. Holy shit. I think I was on a two-movie or a three-movie streak. Actually, two-movie because it was Nope, and then it was Superhero Dragon Ball. A two-movie streak where just the most fucking intrusive, annoying fucking trailers. Fucking Oppenheimer. It pisses me the fuck off. The fact that they put... I'm not going to go back into it. But Oppenheimer, go fuck itself. Amsterdam has a fucking crazy cast. If you are like a cast watcher, which, you know, some people are meat watchers, some people are bird watchers. Motherfucker, I love a good cast. And that cast, holy shit. But this was a fantastic cast. I thought the guy, I'm not gonna say who it was, but I thought the guy was Tommy Wiseau. He has a very Tommy Wiseau hairstyle, as if like if Tommy Wiseau was like going gray, which I assumed. I watched The Room like that came out, you know, 20-30 years ago. I mean, I didn't watch it then, but it came out around the time, so I mean, it'd be reasonable if somebody has gray hair. Apparently it's not Tommy Wiseau, but it's Michael Shannon, who is also in Amsterdam. You have Paperboy. I know it's fucking denigrative to call him Paperboy, but I don't know what his name. Brian Tyree Henry, I believe. You got another guy who's, I know, a pretty big actor that I don't know, but he's somewhat related to Brian Tyree Henry. I'm not gonna say, you know, who. Zazie Beetz, Joey King, who I know of but not know, obviously Brad. Really good casting, you know, to me. Some other guys that, you know, have done some things, but I loved the environment of the movie. I mean, it goes from feeling very populist to very empty pretty quickly, which plays into the plot, you know, like literally that course of events plays into the plot. But the idea of doing a wacky show in a train, I think, does, to me, you know, as an anime motherfucker, that does speak to me for Mugen Train, which is one of the biggest Japanese movies of all time. So, I mean, it's not like it would be an insult to play off of Mugen Train a little bit, but it doesn't wear its Japanese influences too heavy. Like, it's more spotted than I think you maybe let on at the very beginning. It's it's not necessarily an homage either, but it's just, it's done tastefully, you know, and it's not always just some cringeworthy, like, oh, you're an American and you fucking see something Japanese and it's just fucking funny to you. Ha ha, fuck you. It's not like that per se. I'm not sure if the characters are American in the casting, in the course of the actual book itself. I would imagine that that clashing and conflict of these fucking wacky foreigners in a Japanese landscape, even though the landscape feels very not Japanese for the majority of the movie. I imagine that clashing and conflict is supposed to be actually part of the book. I think that would make it infinitely more interesting than if it wasn't. But all that to be said, you know, I thought it was a good movie. The score wasn't anything crazy to me. I did like they did a Japanese rendition of a very popular American song. That was cool. Score wasn't crazy, but it was all right. Like I said, the environment was you know, it was all right. It was solid. I enjoyed it. Colors wise, not as interesting as you may have like a Japanese movie be. I think Japanese movies, Japanese related content, always to me has some of the craziest fucking colors. And this didn't kind of speak to that. Although I'm just a sucker for neon shit. Kiss Land by Weeknd, the neon bullshit, neon green, everything with that presentation of that album just has a soft spot in my heart. And with being in Tokyo, you kind of just hope to God that they'd kind of take some likeness from that, but unfortunately they didn't. Which, I mean, it's not a bland movie visually speaking. There's obviously a couple of cool shots. There's one with, I believe, I want to say Joey King and Brian Tyree Henney's characters. It's a really cool shot that's kind of, I'm not good at looking for film structure, cinematography, things of that nature. I'm awful at it, actually. But it's kind of just a certain way that the camera is pointing and a certain slanted perspective you get as a viewer. That was one of my favorite shots in the entire movie that really stood out to me. A couple of very odd CGI, like, almost like weirdly bad CGI shots towards the back end, like, ha ha ha, we're laughing at how bad CGI is intentionally. I think that's kind of what it was going for. Like, it was very odd product placement that looked completely out of, I don't know, the last like third of that movie, the last fucking like 5 minutes, 10 minutes of that movie are just like a fucking fever dream. Really, really wonky shit does not fit in the scope of the rest of that movie at all. I mean, it's not a masterpiece by any means. It's not as good as Kick-Ass or Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, which I compare every fucking kind of pointed, laughing at itself type campy movie. That's just my go-to Scott Pilgrim. It's my favorite movie of all time. So it's not those two by any means. It would probably, if it was made in 2013 or 14, fall woefully short in being a byproduct of those two movies. But I thought it was a good movie. I mean, all things considered, it wasn't amazing. It was fun. I enjoyed it. It was a two-hour movie, and you had reasons to continue to watch it all throughout. They do a good job of kind of tying everything together towards the back end, even though I will, like, it's not meant to be entirely a mystery. Although there's some twists that I think you may not have guessed. I mean, like, not everybody would have guessed most of those twists. I would probably think most people would not have guessed every single twist this movie kind of throws out there in the last leg of it. But I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed Joey King. Joey King is very, very engaging actress. I'll give her that. Very, very engaging. That's it for me. This really shouldn't be this long of a review. It's not that in-depth a movie. It's fun. If you want a fun movie, that's a good way to kill about 2 hours or so. That probably won't make you think that much, and may be good to bring, you know, a brother or you know, maybe even a very excitable partner that's a female. If you're a guy with a male partner, it just shouldn't really be a problem bringing the male partner. But if you're a guy with a girl partner, or I don't know, I guess two girls with each other, bringing each other, I think you may also enjoy this as well. I give it like I actually love giving a shout out of 10. Because I feel like 5 is always kind of hard to contest. But actually this time I wanted to do it out of 5 because I don't feel as absolutely worthy of a 7 out of 10. But at the same time, it's like, it's not as, it doesn't feel like a 6 out of 10, and I feel like I'm being a puffy if I give it a 6.5. So I'll just say 3 out of 5. That feels like a very, it's not 4 out of 5 by any measure, and it's not 2 out of 5. So 3 out of 5 feels less contextual and asks less of me to rate this movie off. So that's it for me. Bullet Train, not a train wreck per se. I know some fucking dude on People Magazine or some fucking idiot in Letterboxd used a train wreck joke by now. It's not bad. It's okay. It's not. It's mid. And mid does not mean bad per se. It just means it's mid. It's okay. It's solid. It's decent. It's a movie that has reason to exist. And that's all you can ask for at the end of the day.